You thought Syria was over.
Nope.
Why walls work and why we need one. That's all coming up on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey, folks. When I left Syria back at the end of February, the last stand of ISIS was almost at an end. Just a few weeks later, their last stronghold of Baghouz fell to Syrian Democratic Forces, that's the Kurds, and the last exhausted fighters and their families gave themselves up. That's good news, and good news for everybody. Well, I've been saying for a long time that even once ISIS gets defeated in Syria, the show's not going to be over. In fact, it doesn't even mean the end of ISIS. First off, there's the problem of what to do with the more than 70,000 ISIS wives and their children who are now languishing in refugee camps without enough food, clean water, or medical care. The SDF fighters guarding the camps are saying that they can't sustain that amount of people without a lot of help from the United States. And inside the camp, they're already enforcing Sharia law and self-radicalizing even more. Most of those women believe they're job is to soon reconstitute ISIS and continue terrorizing the world. So there's that. Now, many of the men, the fighters who belong to ISIS, weren't captured or killed, but made their way north to Turkish territory and will certainly have to be dealt with at some point. And make no mistake, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is not our ally in this fight. He's straight up Muslim Brotherhood and supports ISIS ideologically. It's mind-boggling to me that as recently as 2016, we had up to 50 nukes at Incirlik Air Base in Turkey. Word is they were moved to Romania, but Incirlik is still home to over 5,000 U.S. troops. Anyway, now that ISIS has been routed from southern Syria, Bashar al-Assad can turn his attention to rooting out other insurgent elements in the north. In recent days, there's been heavy fighting in the Idlib region of northern Syria as Assad's forces, backed by Russian and Iranian muscle, have battled rebel elements that are aligned with al-Qaeda. The Syrians are dropping barrel bombs and Russian fighter jets are pounding the area with the predictable result that hundreds of civilians have been killed and more than 150,000 have fled the area. So unfortunately for the people of Syria, it looks like the end of their misery is nowhere to be seen. This violence is going to continue as Russia and Turkey and Iran, the Kurds, and, oh yeah, Syria, all jockey for control of that region. So please pray for my friend Dave Eubanks and his crew as they continue to work in that area. It's still incredibly dangerous, and the Free Burma Rangers are doing great work treating those who are hurting. But they need support to do so, so if you're inclined to help, please go donate at freeburmarangers.org. All right, on to the U.S. southern border. The numbers just came out for the month of April, and things are dramatically worse than even the month before. In fact, every month this year has been seen about a 30% increase in enforcement actions along the border from the month before that. Did you hear what I just said? The number of people arriving at our southern border is going up 30% per month. Over 109,000 people were apprehended in April. About 10% of those were unaccompanied minors. Now, as it gets hotter down there, more and more of these illegal crossers are going to need medical attention when they arrive at our border. Just the other day, for example, the Border Patrol had to rescue this Mexican guy off the top of a mountain in the desert because he was too exhausted to walk anymore. Do you have any idea what this costs us? That Black Hawk helicopter cost over $25,000 an hour to fly. Just think about that for a minute. This one illegal who's flaunting our laws to get into the United States cost American taxpayers over $25,000. And do you know how many rescues like this the Border Patrol has conducted just this year? Try 2,000. One of the reasons migrants come here is that they know they'll be treated for free at the hospital if they can't pay. This year alone, the Border Patrol estimates it'll apprehend 31,000 people who are in immediate need of medical care, who will then have to be transported to hospitals in the U.S., and the agents will have to wait with them while they get treated and then transport them back to a detainment facility. So far, just this year, that's cost the Border Patrol more than 57,000 man hours, which means the American taxpayer has paid $2.2 million in salaries alone in addition to the medical care. Listen to the Border Patrol Chief Brian Hastings describe that problem even further.
Primarily, 28 days in February, we had over 66,000 apprehensions. During this fiscal year so far to date, since October, we've had over 268,000 apprehensions so far, as compared to the same time frame last fiscal year. That's a 97% increase. So a lot of folks look at that and they say, frankly, based upon those numbers, we have seen numbers like that in the past. In fact, if you look back to 2005, we've seen numbers 1.5 million. And so a lot of folks don't understand that the significant change in the demographics of what we're seeing today is what presents us and our partners with a lot of challenges. Historically, the U.S. Border Patrol has arrested 70 to 90% Mexican nationals. We could apply a consequence to that demographic. We could return them quickly to Mexico. Today, 70% of all those we're arresting are from the Northern Triangle: Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. October 2018 marked the first time in our history that family units exceeded single adult apprehensions. And in February of 2019, family units and unaccompanied children accounted for 65% of all Border Patrol apprehensions. For the fiscal year, it's 60% family unit apprehensions, family unit and unaccompanied juveniles. So without a consequence, without being able to deliver a consequence to these individuals for illegally crossing our borders, the Border Patrol has no reason to expect that this trend will decrease. In fact, we believe it will increase. It's well known at this time that adults with children will not be detained during the immigration proceedings for illegal entry. The word of mouth and social media quickly gets back to those in the Northern Triangle countries that if you bring a child, you'll be successful. From April of 2018 through February of 2019, we've had almost 2,400 fraudulent claims of families. Of those fraudulent claims, some are folks who have claimed that they're under 18 and are not. Others have actually been fraudulent familial claims. Another trend that we're seeing, and I mentioned earlier, are the large groups. This is a dangerous trend for us. We define large group as a group over 100. Those groups so far this fiscal year, we've seen 70 of those groups over 100. They've totaled over 12,000 apprehensions. And the important thing to note is if you look back historically, last fiscal year we had 13 of those groups over 100. The year before that, two groups over 100 for that fiscal year of 17. So that's 99% of all of those individuals are family units, again, and they are from, again, the Northern Triangle. If the current trend continues, Border Patrol can expect to apprehend approximately 174 large groups, totaling over 29,000 deportable aliens. Now, the issue with this and the concern that we have are the majority of these groups are entering in places that are very rugged, very remote, specifically talking two areas, Ajo, Arizona, Lordsburg, New Mexico, very remote, very rugged. The issue that causes us, the challenge that causes us, is they're the furthest areas from our central processing centers, the furthest areas from medical services, furthest from our transportation services that we have as well. Current, even more troubling for us, is that the current intelligence is telling us, and we're seeing firsthand, the drug trafficking organizations are utilizing these groups as cover and diversion to divert our agents away from the national security border mission and use them as a diversion to cross drug loads. We've had four specific cases here recently that we've seen those family units being used as a diversionary tactic. That's highly concerning for us going forward.
Now, these huge groups of migrants are coming because they know that they can get in. And they know their window might be closing, despite the best efforts of Democrats in Congress to stop the construction of a border wall. The truth is, the wall is under construction. And wherever it's going up, illegal crossings are going down. Take a look at this package put out by the Border Patrol about the new wall being built near Calexico, California.
Since the U.S. Border Patrol began constructing border barriers nearly 30 years ago, these barriers have proved to be a critical component in gaining operational control of the border. Illegal drug and human smuggling activity have decreased in those areas where barriers are deployed. Illegal cross-border traffic has also shifted to areas with legacy border barriers or no barriers at all. To enhance border security, the Border Patrol is making significant investments to build a new wall and replacing existing inferior barriers. The first project completed is here in the Border Patrol's El Centro sector in California. The 2-mile stretch of border immediately west of the Calexico West port of entry has been a consistent hotspot for illegal activity. The border barriers in this location, installed 22 years ago, are failing to fully address this threat. Made of a square tube frame and corrugated steel mats left over from the Vietnam era, the old barrier left agents unable to see who or what was approaching from the south, putting our agents in danger. In 2018, this area of the border accounts for nearly 70% of the use of force incidents in the El Centro sector, and is among the highest in assaults of U.S. Border Patrol agents in the nation, resulting in one assault for every 90 apprehensions. Since the old barrier was built, a shopping center opened in 2013, just steps away from the border. This proximity to local pedestrian and vehicle traffic allowed illegal border crossers to quickly vanish into the population. Border Patrol recently completed construction of approximately 2 miles of new steel bollard border wall in this location. The new wall is 30 feet tall and is part of a system that includes capabilities like roads, cameras, and sensors. With the wall system in place, agents will gain the time they need to respond to illegal activity, preventing border crossers from disappearing into the community. Additionally, the steel bollard design reduces the risk to agents' safety by allowing them to see through the wall. The border wall in El Centro sector has 3 key benefits. First, it protects our Border Patrol agents, our most valued resource in the organization. Second, it helps the Border Patrol gain and maintain operational control along this section of the border. Third, it supports a safe and secure border community that is more appealing for local businesses, schools, and residents alike. The bottom line is, walls work. The investment in just 2 miles of new border wall construction will dramatically improve border security conditions here in the El Centro sector. That's good for El Centro sector, and it's good for our nation. Border wall projects are underway across the southwest border right now, replacing dilapidated barriers, closing gaps in existing wall, and constructing new border wall systems. These projects are focused on high priority locations that will benefit most from investments in border wall. With each new mile of border wall, alongside other investments in technology and manpower, the Border Patrol continues to enhance operational control of the border. A more secure border means a more secure nation. A protected border is essential to our national and economic security.
Folks, this has to happen. Trump campaigned on it, and if he doesn't get it done in his first term, it's not going to be for lack of trying. What does it say about our federal system when a judge in Hawaii can block the U.S. president from taking steps to safeguard the American people? What does it say when left-wing organizations, including some funded by the UN and George Soros, can create an infrastructure across Latin America to make it easier and quicker for migrants to make their way 4,000 kilometers north to the U.S. border? What does it even say about our culture when mainstream media outlets put out infomercials in Latin America explaining the process of illegal immigration and how to take advantage of our sanctuary cities? This is more than a humanitarian crisis. It's more than a crisis of national security. This is an existential crisis for the United States of America. All right, lastly today, let's talk about what happened last week when the U.S. suddenly scrambled military forces to the Middle East at the request of the CENTCOM commander, General Frank McKenzie. This was based on Iranian threats to U.S. military forces that were uncovered by recent U.S. intel reports, which showed Iran was activating some of its proxies and repositioning forces and materiel, apparently in preparation for attacks on U.S. interests, both at land and at sea. Well, that's not good. We don't want war with Iran, but in reality, I believe that's going to have to happen at some point. Every president has sort of kicked that can down the road, but unless the sanctions can be enforced with enough vigor to choke out that rogue nation, sooner or later, we're going to have to confront them militarily. And when we do, let's hope the president has the courage to go hard against them and hurt them so badly that it's going to take them decades to recover. In reality, that almost did happen back in 2016 when the IRGC captured those two small Navy boats with 10 U.S. sailors aboard after their boats developed engine trouble and then drifted into Iranian waters. Apparently, there was a very forceful exchange between the Obama administration and the Iranians when John Kerry called his Iranian counterpart and basically told him, listen, you're going to release those guys unharmed immediately or this is about to get real. After 15 hours, the Iranians finally complied, but not before releasing this humiliating video of our sailors kneeling on the deck of their boats with their hands behind their heads like they were about to be executed. Now, this was a definite PR loss for the United States, but that was common during the Obama administration. Anyway, let's hope Iran backs down this time. I think the show of force by the Trump administration sent the right message to the mullahs in Tehran. Mess with the bull? You're going to get the horns. All right, that's all I've got for today. I appreciate you watching, folks. I really do. Please like and share the podcast. Help me get the word out, and it'll help me keep bringing you factual and timely reporting from hot zones around the globe. You're getting stuff here that you won't get anywhere else. I'm Chuck Holton. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thanks for watching.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.